Luke 20, verse 45 to Luke 21, verse 4. While all the people were listening, Jesus said to his disciples, "Be aware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "I tell you the truth," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on."
Let's pray before we get into God's word. Father God, as we reflect on what you said that day, on the words of Jesus spoken to this crowd, we pray that these words of Jesus would not just be things that we hear this morning, but words that affect our hearts, that change our attitudes and work in our lives in a way that enables us to be more like Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would guide my words now, that you would be glorified amongst us this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What is it that is most important to you? We all have lots of different things that pull us in all sorts of different directions, from the list of jobs that we know need to be done to the lists of jobs that we'd love to get around to but never seem to manage to. And so as we move from one thing to the next all the time, it's very easy for us to lose sight of what it is that is most important to us. It's very easy to go through the motions of each day without letting our greatest joy, the thing that is most important to us, shape the way that we are living our lives. And often, it isn't until something has gone seriously wrong in our lives that we stop long enough to reflect on what it is that is most important to us. Some of you, if you're fans of the tennis, may know the name Sergei Starkovsky. Starkovsky was born in the Ukraine and was a professional tennis player from 2004 right up until January of this year. During his career, he played at the highest level. He played at places like the French Open and Wimbledon. And he's known for beating Roger Federer in 2013. He was a high-level athlete. But as impressive as his tennis career was, it doesn't even come close to what he is doing right now. Up until recently, Starkovsky was living with his wife and his three young children safely in Hungary, far away from the conflict that's currently raging between Russia and the Ukraine. But as that conflict heated up, Starkovsky left his young family, knowing that there was a risk that he may never see his children grow up. And he signed up for military service in the Ukraine. In a recent interview, Starkovsky told the ABC, "I have three kids. I have a wife and a place to stay outside of the Ukraine. So I can't really justify exactly why I have done it. But home will always be where the heart is. I'm just trying to support the army in any way I can. And I just felt the responsibility and the duty to my country to stand our ground." Now, Starkovsky isn't the only Ukrainian sports star to be taking up arms to protect their homeland. There are now a growing number of people from all different walks of life and all different nationalities throughout Europe doing the same. And they're making this choice knowing how serious the implications of that choice could be. They know that by signing up to this armed conflict, it could be the last thing they do. In our peaceful and comfortable existence here in Australia, it's very easy for us to forget what is most important to us. Or should I say, who is most important to us? It's easy to get so caught up in our own lives and living for the now that we can easily spend our days worrying about all the things that we think need to be done. We can easily spend our days chasing after things that we feel like we deserve. And in our comfortable existence, we can easily forget to live for the one who is most important. The one whom Scripture calls us to love with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our strength. What is it that's most important to you? It's a hard question to ask. This is a much harder one. Can those around you see what is most important to you? Would people see our faith in Jesus as of being great importance to us? Or has the comfortable existence that we live here distracted us from the one who matters most? In this morning's passage, Jesus is drawing a stark contrast between some of the most powerful religious leaders among the nation of Israel and one of the weakest amongst the people of Israel, a poor widow. And as Jesus makes this contrast, he is calling those who would follow him to reflect on where our priorities lie and who it is that is most important to us. So let's get into these verses. As these verses begin, Jesus has only just shown everyone in the crowd that the promised Son of David is the same kind of guy that Jesus claimed to be, both a descendant of David and God himself. But now, having explained how he can be both the Son of David and the Son of God, Jesus then turns to his disciples while everybody else in the crowd was listening, and he gives them this warning. Jesus said, "Beware of the teachers of the law." Now, from the previous verses, we know that this crowd around Jesus was quite a diverse group. We know that it was made up of Pharisees and Sadducees, as well as onlookers and the disciples. This category, teachers of the law, wasn't distinct to either the Pharisees or the Sadducees. The teachers of the law belonged to both groups. There were teachers of the law on either side. So neither of these groups were being left out of this warning. So what are the charges that Jesus brings against these teachers of the law? Well, the first is they lack the respect and honour of their position. They wore special robes, flowing robes that made them look important. As they went through the marketplace, as they travelled throughout town, people would customarily and respectfully speak to them as rabbi. And they loved this kind of greeting. In fact, the only ones who were exempt from this expectation to greet them respectfully as rabbi were tradesmen busy doing their work. Everyone else was supposed to stop what they were doing and respectfully stand up and greet them as rabbi. Now, we all like to be greeted when we go down the street. I enjoy it when somebody remembers my name. I like it when we make that mutual recognition of who each other is. But to these teachers in the law, they were loving a greeting that was making them feel more important than everyone else. It's the same reason why they love to sit in the most important seats in the synagogue. Now, in our culture, it's often very hard to get anyone to sit up the front. It doesn't seem any different today. When you write these notes in ahead of time, you never know what it's going to be like, but there's like that today. And often it's the back seats in church are the most sought after seats. If we had such a thing as the most desirable seats in the church, I reckon they'd be the back two rows. But the seats that Jesus refers to here are not the back rows. These are the front rows in the synagogue. These teachers of the law loved to sit right up the front so that everybody could see how holy they were. Now, the second charge that Jesus brings before them is that they devour widows' houses. Now, Luke doesn't explain exactly what Jesus means by these teachers of the law devouring widows' houses. The teachers of the law, well, one of their roles was to act as the solicitors or the lawyers of their day. And so they could have been doing this as executors of widows' property, acting perhaps legally, but maybe not ethically. Perhaps they were encouraging devout widows to offer more to the law than they were able to do. These teachers of the law were also known for charging people to make long prayers on their behalf. And so maybe they were taking advantage of widows in that way. Even these teachers of the law, even though they had been appointed to direct people to the Lord, they were the ones who were stealing God's glory for themselves. And on top of that, as those appointed to administer justice, they were the ones taking advantage of the weak and the vulnerable. What was most important to them was their power and position. God's glory wasn't even a close second. They were motivated by self-interest, and all their actions revealed the conditions of their heart and what they considered most important. So as Jesus says in the end of verse 47, such men will be punished most severely. But just after those words had left Jesus' lips, he looked up and across the temple he saw people putting their money into the temple treasury. Now, what's interesting about this money is this isn't their tithe. This is over and above their tithe. This is a free will offering. And the money that went into the temple treasury was given to support the priests in the temple. Now, the first group that Jesus saw are described as the rich. The Gospel of Mark tells us that these wealthy people were throwing in large amounts of money into the treasury. And they were doing this in a way that Jesus was able to see. We don't know for sure, but I reckon they might have been pretty keen to see, for others to see just how much money they were putting into that treasury. But when Jesus saw this poor widow putting in two small copper coins, Jesus was touched. These coins were the smallest coins in the Jewish currency. This was such a small amount of money that the temple law actually prohibited giving any less than two of these coins because it simply wasn't worth the time counting them. From an earthly perspective, this woman was very poor. She no longer had a husband to support her. And this was an incredibly small amount of money. Works out to roughly about 15 minutes of a laborer's day of work. That's how small this amount of money is. There was nothing about this woman that would have gained the praise of those around her. She didn't wear fancy flowing robes like the teachers of the law. She didn't have large amounts of money like those who were rich. And she didn't have any power or authority to display. But as God looked at this poor widow, as Jesus looked at her, he saw what no one else in that room saw. Jesus saw that this poor woman had given far more to God than any of the others, because her Savior was far more important to her than anything else. So Jesus says in verses 3 and 4, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." She held back nothing from the Lord. She trusted her Lord beyond her own physical needs. Because serving the Lord was the most important thing to her, she gave him her everything. This morning, as we reflect on these verses, what is it that is most important to us? And I don't mean what we would say is most important to us, but what would others say is most important to you? Jesus saw the actions of these teachers of the law and could easily see what was most important to them, as they spent their lives trying to gain honor and glory for themselves, instead of humbly serving and glorifying the Lord. Jesus also saw the actions of this poor widow as she gave all that she had, even what she needed to live on, because serving her Lord was the thing that was most important to her. What would others say is most important to you? It's a very challenging question. The reality is that whatever we value the most in our lives will reveal itself in the way that we spend our money, the way we spend our time, and the way we invest our energy. The more important we make ourselves and our comfort the priority in our lives, the less important we make God. And sadly, when we're serving the Lord, when serving the Lord becomes our second or third priority, those around us almost always notice. And they often notice even before we do. What would others say is most important to you? As Jesus made this contrast between the teachers of the law and this poor widow, Jesus is showing that it doesn't make any difference what role we have in the body of Christ, whether we're someone who's up the front all the time or somebody who's working behind the scenes. Because what matters most to Jesus is not what we have to offer, but that we value him and what he has given us more than anything else. If Jesus is what is most important to us, then we will give rather than just receiving. We will be prepared to give even when it's costly, even when it could cost us everything we have. Starkowski is willing to put his life on the line. He's willing to potentially miss his own children growing up for the sake of his homeland. What would we be willing to give for the one who willingly laid down his life for us? The thing is that these verses, they're not teaching us that God is most glorified when we are most comfortable, or when our lives are going the way we feel like they should go, or when we feel the most honored or respected by others. God is most glorified when our lives display our love for Him, regardless of our circumstances. Because when Jesus is the most important thing in our lives, those around us will see it. And even if they don't know the Lord themselves, how we live out our faith, even faith as weak and as frail as those two small copper coins, will glorify and honor our Savior in a way that no power or privilege in this life could ever hope to do. Let's pray. Father God, it's so easy to hear the words that we've read this morning and reflected on and to apply them to someone else. Lord, we pray that your word might be effective in each of our hearts, in my heart as well. Lord, we pray that you would help us to make you the most important thing in our life, that you would be our highest priority, our greatest joy and our greatest love. Lord, grow our witness to those who don't know you first in our heart by making you the most important thing in our lives. Lord, we pray this in the precious name of your Son. Amen.